Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today, we will begin our study to commentaries on Quran chapter 12, which is one of my favorite chapters of the Quran, and it is my favorite account of the Bible. As a matter of fact, when I was 9 or 10 years old, I read the Bible with my own father, and when I was reading the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, it touched my heart so much that it made me fall in love with the entire Bible. As I continued to grow in Egypt, I start to read the same story in the Quran, and I could not help but to laugh. Because Allah declared in the Quran that Quran chapter 12, the story of Joseph, is the best of the stories of the Quran. When in reality, it is the worst story you can ever read in a book. It is filled with error and contradictions. And I really do not know how much education a man or a woman can have to be able to understand the story of Joseph from reading these 111 verses in the story of Joseph of the Quran. It is very ambiguous. And to understand the story of Joseph in the Quran, you must ask many questions. And sadly, you will never find the answer for these questions in the pages of the Quran. And I know that our dear Muslim friends will tell you, well, that's why we have our scholars. You need to read the scholars' interpretation to the verses of the Quran so you can understand it. And when we examine the interpretations of Muslim scholars, we discover that all what they do is very simple. They went back to the Bible to pick up the answers. And sometimes those scholars will stick to their guns and continue to believe in the lies of the Quran simply because they do not want to admit that there's something wrong in the Quran. And once again, I don't care how smart you are, you will not be able to answer one question simply by using the Quran. But on the other hand, any little children, I'm talking about 9, 10 years old, who have access to the Bible will be able to answer all my questions without any hesitation. This study will be a great challenge for any Muslims who would like to debate a 9 or a 10-year-old Jew or a Christian young girl. And I choose young girls for a reason because Muslims believe that women is half brain, which means it is like speaking to a 4-year-old or 5-year-old child. And we will be asking these questions. I'm going to remind you once in a while, here is another question for Muslims to think about if they can come up with an answer from the Quran. And the challenge has been open now for over the 8 or 9 years when we first time talked about the story of Joseph in the Quran in a previous broadcast on VCY. Today we're going a little bit deeper and we'll have fun with that study for the next few weeks as we continue to cover the entire story of Quran chapter 12 and as we will compare it to that which is written in the Genesis account. Before we move on to our study to the story of Joseph, I'd like to let you know that the name Joseph is mentioned in the Quran 26 times. First time we learn about Joseph is Quran chapter 6 and verse 84. And after we go through the 24 times where the name Joseph is mentioned in the book of Joseph, there is another verse where we learn about Joseph, and that is chapter 40 and verse 34. First of all, let me share with you the first time the name Joseph is mentioned in the Quran, and that is what is written in Quran chapter 6 and verse 84. For there we read, and we granted to him here obviously is Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, both we guided, and Noah we guided before, and among his descendants, David and Solomon and Job and Joseph and Moses and Aaron, and likewise we reward the doers of good. Notice the list of name here is written in a very strange order. For if Allah is speaking about Abraham, and he mentioned Isaac, and he mentioned Jacob, why he did not mention Joseph immediately? After all, he is the son of Jacob. But instead of, he moved to Noah by saying, that is before Abraham, Noah. Why Allah did not start with Adam to Noah to get to Abraham to the rest of the names Muhammad would like to give? Nope, that's not what we read in the Quran. After Noah, he mentioned David. After David, he mentioned Solomon, which makes sense. After all, King Solomon was the son of King David. But then he mentioned Job. And guess what? Job is the oldest character we read about in the Bible because he was one of the early descendants of Abraham from Keturah, which is causes us to believe that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. After Job, he mentioned Joseph. What a strange order. Obviously, Moses and Aaron came after Joseph, and they were all the doers of good. When in reality, we know that the Bible said all have sinned. But that is not something Muhammad can understand. Now, before we move on to our study to what is written in the book of Joseph itself, let me read to you the last time Muhammad mentioned the name Joseph in the Quran, and that is Quran chapter 40, and verse 34. For there we read, and indeed, Joseph brought to you the proof before, so you are still in doubt from what he brought you until when he perished. You said, Allah will not send a messenger after him. Likewise, Allah leads astray who is extravagant, a doubter. And if you want to know the context of Quran chapter 40 and verse 30, you have to read earlier, beginning from verse 23, where Allah is speaking about Moses, as how Allah sent Moses with a clear authority to Pharaoh and Haman. We talked about that when we studied what the Quran teach about Moses. But as you continue to read, you see that after Moses killed the Egyptian, Pharaoh desired to kill Moses, as we read that in verse 26. For there we read, and Pharaoh said, let me alone that I may kill Moses, and let him call on his Lord. Surely I fear that he may change your religion, or that he causes vandalism to appear on the earth. But a little bit later, we read about that Muslim believer, a man who was hiding his faith, now speaking to the Egyptians in a very strange conversation. We do not know about it from the Bible, but it is a very important invented portion of the reading of Quran chapter 40. For in verse 28 of Quran chapter 40, we read, and a believing man from the family of Pharaoh who was hiding his face said, will you kill a man because he is saying, my Lord is Allah? And indeed, he came to you with the proofs from your Lord. And if he is a liar, so his lies is against him. And if he is truthful, some of what he promises will fall on you. And I am wondering why some of what Moses promised the Egyptian will be fulfilled. Why not all what Moses promised them will be fulfilled? But that believer who was hiding his face continued to speak in many nonsensical words where no one really understands what he's talking about until he gets to verse 34. And that is when he's talking about Joseph, who came before Joseph, the prophet of Allah, the messenger of Allah, and Allah sent him, but people did not believe in him. People were doubting the message of Joseph. Notice here, that is an Egyptian who believed in the Allah of Moses, who believed in the message of Joseph before Moses, and no one else beside that verse, which is written by Muhammad or whoever helped him to write the Quran, ever mentioned this information. We do not have any archaeological evidence. We do not have any historical evidence. We do not have any biblical evidence that Joseph was sent to Egypt as a prophet and people doubted him. And somehow that secret believer who was hiding his face is telling us in Quran chapter 40 and in verse 34 that Joseph was a prophet and a messenger to the Egyptian before. That is when he stated, "And indeed, Joseph brought to you the proofs before, and you are still in doubt from what he brought you, until when he perished, you said, Allah will not send a messenger after him. Likewise, Allah seals on the hearts of every proud powerful." Besides that one verse, we have zero evidence that the message of the Quran in that verse is true. When in reality, as we're going to see together in Quran chapter 12 and in Genesis account, Joseph was never sent to the Egyptians as a messenger or a prophet.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Once again, Joseph was not sent by God to Egypt as a prophet or a messenger, but Joseph was taken to Egypt as a slave, as we will be seeing in his great account. We're going to have a wonderful time to study it. And he ended dying in Egypt, and he made a covenant with his brothers as a true prophet. And I believe Joseph was a true prophet, not a prophet to the Egyptian, but a prophet for his own family, for the future of the Jewish people of Egypt, because he prophesied about the future. He told his brothers that the Lord will send someone who will take them out of Egypt to the promised land. And he took an oath from his brothers concerning his body. And that is what we read in the book of Genesis chapter 50, verses 24 and 25. For there we read, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence." Now, let's move on to Quran chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, you have to understand that Muslims claim that the Quran is a clear book, easy to understand. And I'm glad that we're doing that study in the book of Joseph, verse by verse, as we will not skip anything. For there we read in verse 1, A-L-R. You may say it as three separate letters, but in the Arabic language, in Hafs, that is the Arabic Quran we use in Egypt, actually they are tied together. It is written as one word, L-R, A-L-R, L-R in Arabic. Now, what does L-R mean? Well, you go to the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalain, and he will tell you that only Allah knows what he meant by Al-R. So here is a word contained of three letters, Alif, Lam, Ra in Arabic, A-L-R in English, and we have no clue what this word is. But the rest of the verse goes like that. These are verses of the clear book. Can't you see the contradiction? How can the book be clear where we couldn't even understand the meaning of the first word in it? What is more amazing that Al-Jalalayn, the great Muslim scholar, is telling us that that chapter is a Makki chapter, which means it was written in the early 13 years of Muhammad after he claimed to be a prophet in the city of Mecca. But we have few verses were added to Quran chapter 12 later in the city of Medina, which are verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 7, and verse 111. Man, oh man, now I am really lost. How in the world you write a chapter that contains 111 verses, and at the same time you tell me that there were verses added to it 10 years later or 5 years later? These are the years where Muhammad lived in the city of Yathrib, which he renamed to Medina. So Quran chapter 12 is written in Mecca, except the first verse of that chapter, which all what we have in it, Alr, these are verses of the clear book. That statement, that verse, was written years later in Medina. Well, how about 2 and 3? Well, it's the same thing. 2 and 3 were written later. So if you want to understand the concept of the writing of this Makki chapter, you should really start with verse 4. 4, 5, 6, and then you skip 7. Why? Because 7 is also a Medini verse. And then you move on all the way until you get to last verse, which is verse 111. And somehow Allah added that verse in the city of Medina, which means literally years later, after the entire chapter was written in Mecca. So we got verse 1. Let's move on to verse 2. We read in verse 2, which is a Medini verse, "Surely we have sent it down an Arabic Quran. Perhaps you might understand." Excuse me, what? The chapter was written without this very important statement? Yes, it was added later. I think Muhammad read Quran chapter 12 somehow later, and he liked it. He said, well, let's add a few verses to it. Well, Alif Lam Ra, A-L-R, and surely it is a beautiful Arabic Quran. After all, I like it. Very strange concept. How can the Quran be an Arabic book or a document when we have 279 non-Arabic words in it? Even in that chapter, we will see some words are not Arabic. Or worse than that, there are words in that chapter without any meaning. They're not Arabic, they're not Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic. They're just made up words. And what's so amazing that Allah, the God of perhaps, told us in verse 2, perhaps you might understand. Well, how can Allah, the all-knowing, use the word perhaps in that verse or in the entirety of the Quran? I do not know. Because the God of the Bible never used the word perhaps, because he knows what is coming. Nothing take our God, the true God of the Bible, by surprise. Verse 3, which also happened to be a Medini verse written years later, Allah said, "We narrate to you the best of the stories by which we reveal to you this Quran, and before it you were among the unaware." I'm sorry to say, not just before that chapter, but even after we finish reading that chapter, Muhammad and the rest of the Muslims will continue to be unaware of the true account of Joseph. But once again, Allah in verse 3 said that this Quran is the best of the stories. It seemed to me it's a good sentence for introduction to a story. But don't forget that that sentence, "the Quran is the best of the stories," were added to the Quran literally years and years later. While we're in it, we might as well go ahead and read verse 7, which was added to the Quran later. "For there we read, indeed, it was in Joseph and his brothers signs for the inquirers." That is a statement, once again, Allah added later. So can we read the Quran by reading verse 6 and verse 8 without verse 7? Yes. Do we miss anything? No. Why Allah added that verse? I do not know. Finally, the last verse in Quran chapter 12, which is verse 111, Allah added one more verse later in Medina. And that verse states, "Indeed, in their stories, there was a lesson to those who have understanding. It was not a forged saying, but a confirming to what is between his hand an exposition on all things and a guidance and a mercy to believing people. What are we talking about here? We're talking about Muhammad writing to that chapter. It is to help us to understand what is between his hands, which is the Holy Bible. Whenever Allah in the Quran uses a word, what is between his hands, he's talking about previous books. What Muhammad is telling us in this last verse of Quran chapter 12, that Quran we're reading here, it is here to tell us about the stories which were there written before in the Bible. Obviously, he's talking about Genesis account. And what Muhammad is telling us, that the Quran is to confirm the Bible and to bring an exposition, which is give us details about everything concerning that which is in the Bible. And the Quran also is a guidance and a mercy to the believing people. These are the Muslims. When in reality, as we're going to see together from studying Quran chapter 12, that's not true at all. The Quran, especially the book of Joseph, Quran chapter 12, is a book of confusion. You could not understand it by just simply reading it. The only way you can understand it is to go back to the Bible and read the true biblical account of Joseph. It will not help anyone to see any truths about the Bible. It does not confirm the Bible, but it contradicts the Bible. Worse than that, the Quran contradicts itself. That is, the Quran contradicts the Quran, as we have seen so many times in our previous broadcast. Add to that, the Quran contradicts logic and common sense. And that's exactly what we see together as we continue to study our commentaries on the story of Joseph. That is Quran chapter 12. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.